Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting.
It's Got Your Ears On.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido, along with Scoot.
Yeah, yeah.
And Johnson.
Show me the offense.
Where is the offense? That is the question, guys. So we're coming off this week a loss to Mizzou
in the show me state.
It was not pretty, and I had posed the question on our Facebook earlier, or on our Twitter earlier in the week. Would we be over or under 75 rushing yards for the game? And we were under 75 rushing yards. What, like?
And I thought someone had a funny on that too. They replied to you and they asterisked it and said season. And boy, did it feel like that earlier.
So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think right now, yeah, for the season, we are at 65 total rushing yards.
It's 64, 65, something like that.
We had 30 rushing yards.
I think I read where it's the lowest two-game total to start the season in a century, perhaps.
And here's the thing, though. Listen to this. So I don't know if you guys looked. So total gained yards today, rushing, was 71 total gained yards.
Okay.
Total lost yards was 41.
Wow.
But half of those lost rushing yards were Austin Kendall getting sacked, getting killed.
Right.
Scoot, where are you? Like, where are you after this week's game?
I'd like to revamp my prediction.
No, I'm sorry. How's that 8 wins looking right now? What were you, 7-8 wins?
Yeah, I think you got to stick to your 8 wins, buddy.
You got to stick to your guns, man.
So
you're not looking pretty right now.
I feel like with the coaching staff, I feel like 8 wins is realistic. With the staff, the coaching staff we have, with the players we have, I don't know that's realistic.
But here, let's talk about this. It's NCAA Division I. Like, is it, I mean, aside from the upper echelons, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, you know, those kind of teams, is our recruiting really that different than Missouri's, or really that different than any of these, like NC State that we play next week? I don't think so. Like, I think that our recruiting is on par with them. I think this is all about scheme and coaching and getting everything together and working cohesively. Like, I disagree.
I don't know. I feel like, and I've read a lot out there, and people have stated this, and I'm kind of leaning toward it. I feel like, so we had a group of great players last year, especially offensively. We had a good, you know, wide receiving core, quarterback.
Right.
Even the running backs were fine. Couple of offensive linemen here or there. I mean, it's not like we've replaced all five. We've replaced three of the five, or tried to.
Right, but there were some big play kind of players that we had. Like,
right.
You know, Greer, Stills. Like, yeah, right.
The guys that have been backups all along, and just like Neil Brown said in his press conference, the guys that are the backups aren't ready to play at this level. And so whatever recruiting was done prior to Neil Brown getting there, like those guys, they're not ready to play. Like, either they were never first, you know, maybe they weren't getting first team reps or second team reps, or they've just kind of been guys waiting for somebody else to step up. And that's an issue that you get sometimes with teams. Not that this is the same in any way, shape, or form, but I've coached teams where you've got younger guys, and when it's time for them to step up, they're still kind of looking over their shoulder for, well, somebody else is going to help me, right? Somebody's going to help me. And a lot of times there's nobody there to help you but you. So I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing with that offensive line. You know, they're bouncing around. They've thrown Barrett in at center again. He wasn't at center last week. They put Josh Sills back over to right guard.
Because
he's more comfortable there. I really think a lot of our issue is that center position, because you watched it. I mean, they were running wild right up the middle. Yeah. Most of the time.
Well, and I think, and Neil Brown said in his post game presser, like, you know, those teams are always going to put, you know, 1-1 and one in the box, and they're going to, and until we can beat them, they're going to keep playing that against us. And if we can't, if that offensive line can't beat them one up, like, we're never going to get any yards. It's going to be this all season. And the problem is our offensive line is not big, guys. Like, they're the elephant in the room. Like, and I think, Johnson, you tweeted out earlier today, like, that's you know, say what you want about Austin Kendall, and he looked bad today, but was it really him looking bad, or was it the offensive line looking bad?
Yeah,
right?
And so people were crushing him on Twitter, and I get it, because he wasn't helping himself out. That's what I tweeted out. He was sailing throws. He wasn't accurate. Yeah. He didn't look too well when he was faking handoffs to air a couple times, where he just looked completely lost. So
that pitch to start the second, that little pitch to start the second half.
Yeah, that was just everything. Was just really just optics were super bad there for a while. But I think I don't care who you put back there. And I think we ended up validating that, unfortunately, with Jack Allison stepping in for what, two plays. I just think, skill position wise, we're actually, so, you know, scoot back to what you were saying. I think I like our skill position players. I'm fine. And to be honest with you, I'm not sour on Kendall. I just think every snap looked like a jailbreak when we had the ball. There were a couple plays where one defender was already tackling the running back before he had the handoff, and the other defender was sacking Kendall as he was trying to hand it off. I mean, so I don't know how anyone's going to be super successful in that situation. The problem is it's completely demoralizing when you're getting that beat at the line of scrimmage. And we're talking about the O-line, but you know, the D line isn't faring that much better either. So I think both sides of the ball, I felt like that last week, and I felt like that again this week, man. It's tough when you're losing that battle at the line of scrimmage.
Well, and I think on the defensive side, especially on the D line, we match up okay. But when you look at that O line, I mean, some of those O line guys are small. They're guys that are at 285, 295, and they're just getting crushed by these offensive linemen. You know, you look at it, it's the SEC, you know, it's big guys, big recruiting. You look at Oklahoma coming down, they're going to be big guys. We'll see what we see next week with NC State. But the offensive line has to win in a one-to-one matchup to be able for us to get any yards on the ground. Well, it hasn't happened for 2 weeks now. Weeks in a row.
And I have to think that you almost have to now come up with a gimmicky scheme or something to start to find ways where you can keep your skill players from getting killed, and you can actually get a couple first downs.
I think that's what's hurt is that I think you saw it today in play calling in the second half. Well, in the second quarter and into the second half, which is he realizes assuming Neil Brown or whoever's doing the offensive play calling realizes that the offensive line can't hack it. And then so all of a sudden you see all of these, you know, passing plays come in, but that's what everybody's expecting now. You know, they know listen, guys, the horizon is not looking good for us right now for the rest of the season, at least.
Well,
you know?
Okay, so that's where I'm at. Let's look at the quarterbacks real quick. Okay. So we can't beat people one-on-one, right? We're struggling to beat people one-on-one, correct? Which guy of the quarterbacks is going to give us our best chance to elude players? Because obviously you're going to have somebody coming back in the backfield ready to sack you because we can't stop them.
Well, so
you're going to have somebody with some quick twitch.
Yeah, right? So you want to say, and what I'll get to what you're leaning to, what you're saying, that Trey Lowe, out of all the quarterbacks that we have, Trey Lowe is probably the most mobile of those quarterbacks.
Well, right. I think I would lean there too, because I didn't understand it in the first game. I didn't understand it today. I don't think anyone is following Austin Kendall when he is doing that little fakey run pass option handoff. To me, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm almost with Scoot, where Trey Lowe would at least make sense. Maybe he keeps it in runs, and it at least keeps some of those guys backing off to at least see where the ball is going. Right now we do that with Kendall. I think he's yet to keep it. I don't think he's run the ball one time in two games.
I'll say the thing that is totally not the homework comment to make as a West Virginia fan, but I'll say a thing. My concern is that Austin Kendall and Coach Brown have such a history, you know, that I'm afraid. I mean, I was surprised a little today that we saw Jack Allison and Trey Lowe in for a little bit, because I think that he recruited, you know, Austin Kendall. He's followed Austin Kendall's career, and now he's got him at WVU. I feel like he's going to stick with him, and that it's the quarterback that he kind of brought for his first year. And so now I'm worried, well, we're going to be stuck with this. And Austin Kendall is not, an RPO option. He's, you know, I think he's got, you know, your boy George has gotten a couple catches there. He's what, 2 for 2 on those.
Talk about prognosticator.
On those go routes, yeah, right. But he's not. I worry that we're not going to get a chance to see Trey Lowe, because he's going to stick with Kendall, because that's his guy.
Know anything about the Bowling Green transfer. I'll be honest. So maybe he's mobile as well. I think if he is, then he needs to be in the conversation too. I just think it's going to have to be someone who, if they're going to continue to run that offense, then I don't understand why you wouldn't go with someone that might be a running threat. I mean, to be honest, I said it in the first podcast. I'll say it again. I'm saying Trey Lowe, and to me, he's still a largely unknown quantity. I mean, maybe he's not as good as I think.
Well, he comes in and
hand
the ball off 3 times today. Like,
well, they didn't really
let him do anything.
Yeah, they didn't let him do anything. But I think if you're going to continue to run that offensive set, then it doesn't make sense to me that, you know, Austin Kendall doesn't want to run. So why would you continue to do that?
I was just gonna say, I've got to wonder why. So if you're Jarrett Daigie, the transfer from Bowling Green,
right?
What is the appeal to come to West Virginia, knowing that they just got Austin Kendall for 2 years? So are you going to transfer in? Like, what was the sell for him to come? I'm sure coaches were like, listen, you know, you come to West Virginia, you've got a chance to play, because why would you transfer there without – he was a starter at Bowling Green. So is he coming thinking that he legitimately has a chance to start next year, or is he – was this just all, a ruse to – I don't know why he would come.
And it's such a weird position, because I feel like for the first time in a while in West Virginia, we're very quarterback heavy. Like, I don't feel like any of these guys stands out past the other one, you know? I mean, I agree. I think, Scoot, you're not a big Jack Allison fan, and I kind
of
see it.
He's got
especially after that
hyena giraffe thing.
Especially
going
after
on.
that pick six that he had today. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think the pitchforks and torches are going to keep lining up on Austin Kendall, though, if he keeps sailing passes, not looking sharp, looking confused.
But how much of that is pressure, though? How much of that was pressure today?
Coming out of a TV timeout and having a delay of game.
Well, that was bad.
Those are things I just think people are going to go, what are we doing? Plus, even on George Campbell's touchdown pass, if you really want to nitpick him, that was obviously a blown coverage. Campbell's wide open. He kind of had to stand and wait on the ball to get there for a Mississippi or two. You know, I think people are going to continue to nitpick that stuff when the team's performing like it is anyway. The quarterback, you know how that is. Come on, the quarterback gets way more love when you're doing well than he probably should. And he gets way more, you know, crisis mode when you're doing poorly. So let's take
it and go to the other side of the ball now. So let's talk about the defensive side of things. Now, I thought that first series, the defense looked great today. And I was one of those people the whole game. I'm like, well, the defense doesn't have a chance because they're on their heels the whole time because the offense can't put anything up. They can't do anything.
That's the bad part. I mean, when they're on
the
field.
But here's my only thing against that, though. If you look at time of possession for the game, it was pretty even. You know, we had the ball for 29 minutes. They had the ball for 30 minutes. So it was fairly even, you know, throughout the game. So I'm not necessarily sure that that's a good enough excuse to not give up 30, you know, million points that we gave up today. You know what I mean? Like,
no, and I think the problem I have with the defense, again, is just so blatantly losing the line of scrimmage. They get pushed around. We thought James Madison ripped off big chunks of yards in the running game. Missouri pretty much did whatever they wanted in the running game. And to be honest, there were parts of the game where Missouri decided to go to the passing attack, and I was just sitting there thinking, why would I hope they continue to do that? I don't know why they would do that, but I hope they continue, because usually we could get them off the field if they had some incomplete passes. And
right, because I mean, at least in the passing situations, you saw Darius Stills at least giving a little bit of pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I would say on that side of the ball is, anyone watching has to come away thinking that the tackling is horrendous. That's one thing that I was disappointed today. I thought guys really did their jobs well. You could tell people were in position. They'd flush Bryant out, and they'd have people dead to rights, and then they just simply couldn't get a tackle in.
It kind of looked a little bit like Kelly Bryant was like a matador, and as you had these bulls just charging him, like that one touchdown pass, he was sacked. He was legit sacked. Yeah. And somehow he gets a bullet pass to a wide open guy. Like, I still feel like guys sometimes get caught up watching other guys play and forget to do their job. Like, they maybe those defensive backs thought, well, we got him, so I don't need to run as hard. And then what happens? He throws a pass to the guy that you should have been guarding. You know, you should have been manning up. Like, it's frustrating to watch because we've seen success, and some of these guys are the same guys that we had some success with before, and that's where it's a little frustrating.
That's where it gets frustrating. Yeah. So today was not pretty. It was not a great outing, and it definitely made me feel a lot more down on this season and what may occur for the rest of the year. But let me tell you what, let's take a break. We'll talk a little bit about our sponsor, Tactical Legion Knives. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about next week and other things going on in the program. And of course, our check-in with the Axis of Evil. But first, let's hear a little bit from Tactical Legion Knives.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia owned and operated company that specializes in heavy duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido. Don't forget to check us out online. You can find us at Got Your Ears on Twitter. You can also go to our website, gotyourearson.com, and find everything else out about us that you need to know. And don't forget, keep on checking out Tactical Legion Knives, West Virginia owned and operated. A great company, great knives. Check them out. Johnson, tell us a little bit about what's going on with our Axis of Evil.
Yeah, let's hashtag. Do a quick hashtag Axis of Evil check-in. So I have to start with the twerps, the Maryland Terrapins. They made my bad mood worse earlier they spanked Syracuse.
So and I it kind of upset. It really upset me because I want Syracuse. I wanted Syracuse to really have a breakout year this year, like. I'm kind of, you know, I felt bad for him.
Well, and the Orange were before this 63-20 loss to guys 63-20 women's roller derby helmets. It looks like 63-20. And what caught my attention, just because of the woe that we were watching with our offensive, because
those games were going on at the same time, right?
God bless their souls. So Maryland net yards rushing 354.
Ooh,
that's
where did they play at Maryland?
That's like a KJ. That was at Maryland. That's like that a KJ Harris against East Carolina rushing day for them.
Wow.
No, they were
I miss
at home.
KJ Harris.
They were at home.
That was Maryland. That was at Maryland.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, right.
All
right, so that's one.
When you're
arm
used
of
to playing in a dome, it's very difficult to play in the hot.
That's your theory.
Oh, they had yes. So you think the sun
College
was
Park?
In Syracuse's
The sun played a big role.
It is tough. Elements played a role.
They're not all used to the sun. Tough.
Your Pitt Panthers. Oh, jeez. So
who's Pitt Panthers?
So. the first thing we need to do, though, is confirm. So we said on the show last week we would confirm Pitt's loss to Virginia. They did, in fact, lose.
Yes, right.
We're very happy for them for that. They come back this week, and they beat the Ohio Bobcats. So
Frank Solich.
Yeah.
Yes.
I felt he got a bad deal.
They won pretty handedly on that game, too.
20-10. Yeah. Yeah. So, unfortunately, it looks like the Axis of Evil is probably on their way to 3-0 this week, because if we check over on the Nittany Lions, they're playing Buffalo, and that game's still in progress as we're talking, but they're up 35-13. So
yeah, so that they've got that one under control as well.
So unfortunately, it looks like a clean sweep for the Axis. Hey,
Johnson, but we had a Twitter poll this week. What about Virginia Tech? Is Virginia Tech in the Axis I think they of gotta Evil be, now? Listen, people are asking for it.
They got to be in. I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because if you look at football, nobody really liked Frank Beamer. I didn't like him. I did kind of like Bud Foster, and at one point I did hope that Bud Foster would become our new head coach when they hired Dana Holgorsen, but that's another story for another time. I also don't like when Buzz Williams was there, and he did his little jig on the center court.
Yeah,
at the Coliseum. Yeah. So I think you've got to throw Virginia Tech in there. And with the Marcus Vick and flipping people off and stuff.
No, look, it's perfectly fine. I completely support the wholesale hate of Virginia Tech. That's not the problem. But it's the Axis of Evil. What if I go four teams, it can't be the Rhombus of Evil or some it's gotta be the Axis of Evil, Scoot. And those are long time.
What if we went the Trapezoid enemies of Evil?
I just think that they are probably, friends.
We can call it the Trapavoid. Trapavoid.
Trapavoid.
Well, that is a bit catchy.
Hashtag trap a void of evil. You like it. You like it.
So, Scoot, do you feel as a newer? I'm gonna say between the three of us, you're the newest. You're the freshest of the WVU fan.
I'm the freshest in a lot of ways.
Do you feel like you have more anger towards Virginia Tech than Maryland?
I'm gonna say yes because Maryland to me, since my newer fandom, Maryland's just kind of been like a blip on the radar. Like WVU in my time really following WVU kind of pounded Maryland for most of the time I've seen them play. Now there's a couple games here or there, but Maryland's just kind of been like this little, I don't know, competitor that's not been a fly that's been bothering you, like a gnat. Whereas for you guys with a little deeper history, you hate them. You hate them, and you think that they're a bigger problem than they are. For me, Virginia Tech is that problem.
I hear you. Well, checking into Virginia Tech just to appease you, Scoot. Virginia Tech defeated Old Dominion today, 31-17. Not a surprise.
That's kind of
Frank
close.
Beamer's not there anymore, but they still enter Sandman. So,
and Scoot, I'll give you the Hokies are friends of Axis. Okay,
see,
I mean they're like
dirty. They did us dirty when
friends
they left
of
the
Axis.
East.
Like if the war broke out, they would side with the Axis of Evil.
So
right,
you're
right,
saying
right.
that? So we
I
talked
do have
about
a
this,
picture.
Right? We have Louisville. Louisville's our dog, and Cincinnati, they're our dogs.
Yeah,
I
whereas
guess.
Virginia Tech is not.
See, here's something else. Exactly. I think you don't understand. I'm a grizzled WVU fan.
Man,
I'm an equal opportunity hater of all teams not named WVU. So I don't really think that WVU has any dogs per se. I tend to hate everyone on any given college Saturday of football. I don't like any teams. But I
will tell you this. I do have a picture. I do have a picture of myself on the campus at Virginia Tech wearing a West Virginia hat, putting up the old number one. So that makes me feel good about myself.
Which finger were you using?
Yeah, right. The West Virginia finger. I was using the proper.
Well, we'll keep going with this. And maybe we'll check in on Virginia Tech maybe weekly too.
Listen,
just because
the people
like
want
I said,
it.
I completely
we
got to
do what the people want.
I completely support the dislike the people, of the Hokies.
Listen, they
let's talk
us.
About let's talk a little bit about next week, guys. NC State coming up. Next week, where do you guys stand on that? NC State played Western Carolina today and won 41-0 against Western Carolina. They had 200 yards passing. One of their running backs had 120 yards. They had a total of 300 yards rushing. How are we looking next week, guys? Scoot, you called this a win a couple weeks ago.
I did, because of our buddy Gibson being there. I don't know. Based on what I saw today, my eyes tell me this is not going to be a win.
Well, and I tend to think that this is a game that you can't really – it's hard to gain any knowledge of NC State about this. So Western Carolina is coming on the heels of their game against Mercer, where they lost that game as well. So I don't know what you learn from this other than you know, NC State can put some points on the board. They're probably athletic. I would venture to say their personnel is not going to be any bigger, better, faster than what we saw today at Missouri. Plus, we're at home next week. I have to think we lick our wounds a little bit and we come back home and kind of band together and put a better effort together. But I still think, realistically speaking, we're going to see we're going to continue to see those matchup problems on the line of scrimmage. So I don't think NC State's going to make that any easier for us. So we're going to have to play somehow fare better at the line of scrimmage than we did.
I'm going to make a bold prediction.
What's your bold prediction?
Okay. So NC State has yet to give up a touchdown this season.
Correct.
I think we'll score a touchdown against Tony Gibson and his vaunted defense.
Okay. Just a touchdown, though?
At least one. We will get one. And it'll go to George Campbell.
So, Scoot, let me ask you this. I'll throw this back to you, Scoot. Yeah, I'll throw this back to you, Scoot. So, earlier, episode one, you predicted West Virginia would win 7 or 8 games this season.
He said eight.
We're now 1-1. Scoot, where do you fall now? I think let me tell you, I'll preface this by saying at one point I said I thought we would win 4 games, and I think Johnson was closer to the 3 games.
Well, I ended at 5.
Oh, did you end at 5? Okay. I'm now closer to 3 games. I think that there's an upset out there somewhere that we'll get. I don't know if it's next week against NC State. I don't know if it's down the road against a Baylor or somebody else. I still think we can beat Kansas, especially since Kansas was not faring too well today. But they were playing Coastal Carolina and losing. So I still think there's a couple of wins out there for us, but I think 3 is max. Scoot, where are you
can
now?
Here's my question. Can I count the blue-gold game?
No.
Can I count that as one of my wins?
That may not enter into your win.
So I can't count the blue gold game.
No,
as one of my wins.
You cannot.
No,
because that would be 2 wins for me right now. I'd be sitting at 2 wins, and I would only need 6 more.
But I think so. So following on Guido, though, I think I'm probably leaning toward 3 wins now as well, and I think that. We're going to need some kind of, wrinkle or, for me to change that feeling.
I assume we're thinking Kansas and Kansas State are your other 2 wins?
Well, I think Kansas State put a linebacker in at quarterback today at one point in their game. So, yeah, I think those are the 2 that I'm circling right now.
And Kansas was losing to Coastal Carolina.
How depressing.
I mean, don't sleep on the Chanticleers.
How depressing would it be if you lived in the state of Kansas?
Here's the thing.
Until basketball
I just
season,
want to say yeah, this, would... though. I'm just going to say this, though. Like, we're all going to sit here and make fun of Les Miles in the Kansas era, his era at Kansas so far. Don't sleep on him, man, because that's the kind of game that you end up losing when we all sit here and say, oh, they lost to Coastal Carolina, and now we're going to kick,
I don't think we're in any position to sleep on.
Like, what do tickets cost to go to a Kansas game?
Well, they'll be pretty cheap, I think.
But I mean, just in general, like, What would motivate, unless you are some sort of like, obviously if you go to the school, but like let's say you don't go to the school, what would motivate you to go to a Kansas game, especially if it's not a marquee matchup?
Listen, the difference is today Kansas lost to Coastal Carolina and Kansas State did beat Bowling Green 52-0. So, I mean, you know.
That's probably because Bowling Green's best player from last year is sitting on our bench as the fourth quarterback.
Well, Scoot, at least Kansas calls themselves and their state Kansas and not like Kazoo or something like that.
So let's hear, every week on the show, guys, we do a little segment we like to call Earful. It's a little bit of, you know, what is annoying us about college football. Scoot, you got one this week with Missouri or Mizzou or whatever.
Yeah, so here's my question. Like, first of all, the name of the state is Missouri, correct?
Yes, yeah, okay. That's correct.
Correct, right?
Correct.
Have you ever said, hey, I'm taking a trip to St. Louis, Mizzou this week? No, nobody says that. Who calls it Mizzou? And then not only do they call it Mizzou, they change the spelling. So it's M-I-Z-Z-O-U, and some clown PA guy will say, that's a Tiger first down, M-I-Z, and then the crowd has to say Z-O-U. It's like a bad spelling lesson. Like, what are we teaching people?
Do you think there's a lot of kids that are coming to college there and don't realize that they're going to the state of Missouri?
Yeah, do you think people forget?
And then let's make it even more confusing and make the abbreviation M-O. Because that makes sense. Like, it's... and unfortunately, they're not alone in doing some kind of weird name for their college. Or I don't even know, is it a nickname for their college? Is it a nickname for their state? What are we talking about? But Mississippi, the University of Mississippi, like, I can't tell you how long it made me wonder, like, what is Ole Miss? Why is it Ole Miss? Like, so I would lump Ole Miss and Mizzou kind of in the same.
Were you, when you were a kid, Scoot, were you the one that was a little confusing? You thought it was Ole Miss?
Miss. It's very odd, but Mizzou is a really dumb name.
Yeah.
I mean, are there other colleges that do this? I don't know of any off the top of my head.
And nothing else like that's coming.
And they're all in, man. Like the end zone.
Oh,
M-I-Z-Z-O-U.
Yeah, they're proud of it.
I think it even said maybe on their jerseys, Mizzou.
It may have. Yeah, you know what? It may have.
Like
they are all in on that.
Nobody outside of Mizzou, I think, would ever call it Mizzou.
But do you think that? What would it be if it was West Virginia? What would you?
What do we call West Vigy?
West Vigy?
Virgie. West Virgie?
W Vizzy?
Yeah.
Well, that's an earful. Scoot, thank you for giving it to us. Guys, every week we do talk about our intrastate rival, Marshall, who did play on Friday night this week against the top 25 team. So they played Boise State on Friday night and lost. But it wasn't really that bad of a loss for the Herd.
They played well. It was, I think, 14-7. So
14-7 was the final. They stuck with a top 25 team. I don't want to ask the question, guys. I really don't want to ask it, but I have to. If we played Marshall this week, would we win or would we lose to the Thundering Herd, Johnson?
I was hoping you'd go with Scoot first. Yeah, you know what? I gotta think that I just can't get myself to say it.
But now I'm like, the score would be like 9-6 and it would be like a field goal battle.
Getting ready to say it'd be like 9-7 or
yeah,
something.
Right. Scoot, are you gonna be I'm gonna say that we'd still beat him. Johnson can't say it. What about you, Scoot? You're not a homer as we are.
Is it home or an away game? Or is it a neutral site? Are we playing like
Let's say we're playing at Legley Field. Yeah, it's in Charleston. We're playing Wheeling Park. We're playing in Wheeling Park Stadium.
Wheeling Park.
We're on the island.
Okay.
It's Marshall against WVU. There are approximately 8,500 people in the stands at Wheeling Park.
Ugh.
And there are half the people are worried more about their bets on the dogs at the track.
Hmm.
And what do you think, Scoot? Do you think Marshall
would win? So here's what I'm going to say, that Huntington is a rougher place. Wheeling, mm-hmm. kind of a rougher place. So I'm going to give the advantage to WVU.
Okay.
Okay, because I feel like I feel like when you're in Huntington, they'd be too relaxed because it'd be too much like home for them on the island.
So you're still going WVU.
I'm
going to
go WVU.
3-0.
No. 2-0 safety. 2-0 safety. One of the Stills brothers.
I read a tweet today. Somebody tweeted out that they were like, thank God we're not playing Marshall this year because it might break the streak.
I'm going to go 2-0.
It is rough, guys. It is rough. Well, listen, we play NC State on Saturday. Hope everybody catches that game, and we'll be on next week, too, to talk a little bit about it. Don't forget to check us out online. We're on Twitter at Got Your Ears On, and we also have a website you can check out. That's GotYourEarsOn.com. Johnson, Scoot, you guys have a good week. Stay out of trouble, and we'll be back next week with more Got Your Ears On.